Well, I suppose this morning that in my mind, the most poignant, important question of the hour is, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And I don't want to ask myself that question just on Sundays. I want that to be in my heart all the time, don't you? Every day.
Yes.
Lord, today, what must I do to be saved? You all remember the passage in the 19th chapter of Matthew. I guess we could read one verse of it. Matthew 19 and 16, when the young man came to Jesus and asked that question. Matthew 19 and 16, it said, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And you know the story. The Lord told him, well, you know what the law is. And he kept all that from his youth. He could reiterate that. And I can't remember if it was there. I've already turned away from it. But the Lord told him, if you'll be perfect, this thing you need to do. And then he touched that place in his life that was necessary for him to move on and be perfected in the Lord. But he came to the Lord with a question. And in the account in Mark, it says a little different way. It says that he came running, that a young man, he came running to Jesus and asked him, "Good master, what must I do to inherit or to obtain eternal life?" And I suspect all of us this morning don't like the way that account turned out, because it's sad. Because the Lord touched on that part of the man's life that he wasn't willing to go. But I want to take away from these accounts that the man came, he did come to Jesus. And he did ask the question. And in Mark, it said that he ran to Jesus. And that sense of urgency, I'm struck with that. And I want to have that sense of urgency today. I want to constantly, if I can say it this way, be running to Jesus and asking Him, Master, what is it that I need to do to obtain eternal life? Because I know this morning that if I don't obtain eternal life, then everything that I do in this world, what's it going to be worth? Is it worth anything? You get to the end of the way and you've obtained worldly goods, or you've done this or that, or you've fulfilled your dreams, you get to the end of the way, it's all for naught if you don't obtain eternal life. So it seems like that should be a question, a prayer and desire of our heart every day. Not on Sunday, not just on Sundays. We want you to have that on Sundays too. Where you come to service with the Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, what is it that you have for me to get for myself? But that every day we would have that desire. And the Lord, when He was talking to this young man, you notice that He didn't say to the young man, He says, "Well, you know what the law is." And he goes, "Well, yes, Lord, I know what it is. And here's all these things, and I've done them all from my youth." And the Lord did not say, "Yes, but that's not important." You catch that? A lot of times we don't focus on that part. The Lord didn't say, "Well, those things aren't so important. What's really important is this over here." The fact of the matter was, the things that the man had kept from his youth, they were foundational. They were critically important.
Yes.
Those things had to be observed. You know, the basic fundamentals, living for the Lord, they had to be observed. But the Lord had a place for him to go that he had not yet arrived. And that's where that man got to that particular day. It was the time for him to come face to face with Jesus and say, "Okay, Lord, what's next for me? And I want to have that prayer in my heart today. Lord, what's next for me? What is it that you would have me to do? Lord, I've done these things that I know to do. These things that have been opened up and taught to me, and the things that I've read, Lord, I've done these things, but what would you have me to do now? And the Lord, I believe, has a message for us, each one of us, and it's personal, and it's individual. And the Lord's message to him was, if thou wilt be perfect, this is what you need to do. And that's my message this morning, is that the Lord wants us to be perfected. There's a place in our lives where we get to, where we turn to the Lord, and He's happy with where we are and where we've come. But He says, okay, now, Rod, here's what you need to do now. I know what you've done in the past. It's important. It's needful. It's critical. But now it's time for you to come to this place. Do you know what that place is for you today? I don't know what it is for everyone here. But do you? And have you asked the Lord, Lord, for me today, what is it? What is it that you want me to do? I'd like to read now a verse in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. It says, there, first verse, Hebrews 6:1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. One translation says, where it says, let us go on unto perfection, one translation says, let us be carried on unto perfection. Paul wasn't saying that these other things weren't important. Doctrine was important. Baptism, it's a baptism of doctrine. Sometimes doctrine or baptism is referred to as doctrine. The baptism of John, the doctrines of John, those things were important. Laying on of hands, that was important. Believing in the resurrection and you being resurrected from the dead, they were all important. They were all needful. But the message that Paul had here was, it's time now to move on. It's time to move now from where you are today to a different and a higher place with the Lord. Paul didn't want them to always stay babes in Christ. He wanted them to become adults. And the Lord wants us to become more and more and more mature Christians, does He not? And so the message this morning is, let us have a desire in our hearts that we personally would go on unto perfection. And I can't help but think of the parable. I believe it was a parable where Jesus said that the people of this world sometimes are wiser than the children of light. That passage is kind of a difficult passage to understand completely. And I've read the commentaries and I've read it myself, you know, word by word, trying to get it exactly. And it's kind of difficult. But the Lord has got this over to me. Sometimes people in this world seem like the decisions they make, it's almost like they're wiser than the children of light in that sometimes we put the kind of energy into temporal things that God would have us put in to things that are not temporal, where our souls are at stake. And I think about, you know, where I work and our business in this life, and I've been exposed and been in many other businesses outside of the company that I work for. Been in their plants, see how they do their things. And there is a movement underway, it has been for a long time, that's really accelerating a movement to become better and better and to perfect the production processes and have better and better variation reduction and variation, and understand what points are out of control in the process and identify what the root cause is of that point that's not where it ought to be, and to make your process with as narrow of a band as possible on the acceptable limits, and you have control limits on that. And we work and we work and we have continuous improvement process meetings, and energy is expended to get better and better, identify what's wrong so that we can be more perfect in what we do. And I think about all that, and then I think about where that parable is, that the children and the people of this world are sometimes wiser than the children of light, in that they're preparing for tomorrow. They're preparing to stay ahead in the future. That's what that servant did. Do we do that? Do we do that in our lives? I want to do that. I want to put as much energy in my spiritual life, yes, and how I'm living. Lord, is there something that's a flyer? Is there something that's out of control in my life? Lord, do you want me to live like this, but yet there's things that keep cropping up outside, if you let me say it this way, an acceptable control limit where you want me to live? And are there things, Lord, that I'm doing? Am I living in a way you're not pleased with? And work to identify it. Have that sense of urgency where we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, what would you have me to do to be saved? Lord, what would you have me to do to be more perfect? Are you perfect this morning? Do you have places in your lives that you believe the Lord would like to perfect? I have a suspicion that if the Lord were to lean over and start drawing in the sand my imperfections. Remember when he leaned down and was drawing in the sand, you know, when they were wanting to stone that lady? And no one knows really what he drew in the sand. Brother Austin, he used to say that he thinks the first time he wrote all their names, and then he leaned up, asked them a question, and the second time he leaned over beside each of the names, he wrote what their sins were. And then he said, and you with the first stone, you go ahead and cast it. Well, and he had all their names and all their sins down. So that, I don't know what he wrote in the sand, but if he wrote down my imperfections, he'd probably still be writing. It'd be a long list. But you know what? The Lord is calling me to arise, to get up, to move forward, and to go to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm imperfect, but Lord, I want to be perfected. Lord, I want to live more how you want me to live. I want to grow in grace. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to see myself like you want me to see myself. Brother Clifford used to say, he used to pray, Lord, help me to see myself just like you see me. He was praying, Brother Clifford Wilson was. He was praying that prayer, and he said one day the Lord said, if I showed you yourself like I see you, you'd just throw your hands and give up. There's too much work there to do. So my prayer has been, Lord, I don't want to see myself like you see me. I want to see myself like you want me to see myself. You know what I can handle. You're a merciful God. You know what I'm ready for. Sometimes other people see me more like I am than I recognize myself for what I am. And it's because the Lord might recognize that Rob's just not ready for it yet. But I want to have a willing heart where I come to the Lord,
amen,
always. And I'm saying, Lord, how do you want me to see myself? Where can I grow? Where is it that you want me to change? I don't want to stay stagnant. I've thought different times. If you put something fixed in a current, over time it begins to break down and lose mass, and its shape starts to fall apart because there's a constant pressure against it. And if we try to remain stagnant spiritually, when the current of the Lord is wanting to carry us on to perfection, And we're like, no, I'd like to stay right where I am. Lord, I'm pleased with right where I am. And we don't try to run to the Lord and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And we try to just hold on. And the Lord's trying to move us on. We won't stay in the same spiritual state. You can't. When the Lord begins to reveal light, His expectations of us increase. Didn't you have greater expectations for your children when they were 5 than when they were 2? And when they turned 10, didn't you expect more out of them than when they were 5? And the older they get, the more you're expecting. You didn't expect them to run when they could only crawl. But when they were able to run, you didn't want to see your children crawling around outside. You wanted to see them walking and running because that's where they should be. And spiritually, where are we? Are there places in our lives where the Lord's saying, Rod, you are still crawling right here. And I really want you to be walking. You're past the point of crawling. It's good that you crawled. You needed to crawl. You needed to know how to do that. But now it's time to move on. Where are we today? Where are you? Did you know that there is a current of the world that carries us in an opposite direction of the current of moving to perfection of the Lord? And it's an easier current to be in. And if you stay in that current and move that way, you are going to be diminished in the Lord. God wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to arise. He wants us to say, Lord, what is it that Thou wouldst have me to do today? And He'll be faithful to show us. I think often of Joshua. And I talk about this verse often, the first chapter of Joshua, in the first verse. When the Lord came to him and He said, it's your turn now, Joshua. You arise. Used to, your place was, maybe you were a follower of Moses. You were a leader. You were a spiritual leader. You did all the things I wanted you to do. But now times, this is today. That was yesterday. And now it's time for you to arise and to lead. I have much land for you to possess. And we've talked about that. But did you know that when you read through Joshua, you get to the 13th chapter of Joshua, and the scripture there says, and this was after many conquests, the Lord told Joshua when he was old and stricken in years, you remember what He told him? Anybody here remember what He told Joshua? It says when he was old and stricken in years, the Lord came to Joshua and said, there is still much land to possess. There's still much land to possess. And I was reading through those, and Caleb, who was with Joshua, remember those were the two spies? Caleb was 40 years old when he went in as one of the spies. Well, after the Lord told Joshua this, there's still much land out there. This is a challenge to all of us. Now, I know Sister Genevieve is older than 85. But Caleb came to Joshua when he was 85. And he told him, he said, I am just as strong today as I was back when I was basically a spy, when I was 40. God has given me strength for war and to go in and to come out. And he told Joshua, he said, there's this land over here that they were a strong people with a fenced city, and I want that for my inheritance. And Joshua said, you can have it. It's land to be taken. And Caleb rose up, and that became his land for his inheritance. Would have been so easy for Joshua and Caleb to say, I've done all these things for the Lord. I've repented and I believe in the Lord and I've gained some land here and then just be content with that. But the Lord came to Joshua and He said, there's still much land to possess. And I think this morning, there's still a lot of land for you to possess by the strength of God. And I wonder sometimes, if there is land that we draw back from possessing, do you think? Are there places in your lives that that you draw back from, that maybe because you're fearful of going after it, you could have said, well, I'd like that mountain, but I'm not able. I'm weak, I'm getting old, it'd have been nice, but it's just not going to work for me. Don't we feel that sometimes? Lord, I'd really like to be in this spiritual place, but it's just not me. It's just not who I am. I just don't have the wherewithal. I just don't have the strength. And it's back to what we heard this morning. Sometimes we are limited many times because of our unbelief. We think that the land that we can possess is only the land that we could possess through our own strength. And we forget about that there's a God out there that says, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how weak you think you are, doesn't matter how many obstacles or how big the giant looks, I can help you take that land. God wants us to take the land. He has land for us. And I fear sometimes there's land that we're even afraid to tour the Lord through. Places in our hearts that we don't want the Lord to look at, that we don't want to look at too close. We would rather the land just to keep yielding the fruit that it's currently yielding. We just kind of those places, do I want to touch that part of my life? Do you have any of those? You don't have to answer me, but I would ask you to answer that for yourself. Do you have any places in your life that you just would like to be left untouched? I really don't want to make any changes here. I've heard about it. Maybe I've heard it being taught. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord's touched my heart, but I just would rather not think about that piece. Just leave it alone. The Lord has some land, some power, some grace, some strength. Our responsibility is to open that up, open the gates to that land and say, Lord, look at this. Are you pleased with this? Lord, is there something about this that you would have me to do differently? I remember, I think it was in Albany. I remember wandering through a car show one time. You know, these nice old cars. And this was the first time I had seen this. And I remember walking by and there was a car out there. And usually what do you see at car shows? Are all the doors closed and the hood down? Usually if there's anything open, the hood's open. They're proud of what's under the hood. They want to show the engine. They want to show the chrome, the big engine. They want to show what it all looks like under the hood. But this car had everything opened up, and not only did it have everything opened up, but there were mirrors on the ground just under the car. So it was under the car and out so that you could see under the car what the underneath side of the car looked like. They had worked the whole car over. They were fine with you looking at every part of it. And that underneath side is a hard side to keep clean. That's where everything gets thrown up. But they had it, I mean, it was something to look at. And sometimes I wonder, are we afraid to let the Lord pull out the mirrors in our lives? And stick him in those places that for us, there's the greatest tendency to get dirty. You know that all of us have places in our lives where it's the greatest tendency for us to fail. It's the greatest tendency to show spots. It's the place where we're most easily beset by sin. It's a place that we would rather others not focus on. And it might be different for all of us, those places. And we would rather not anybody pull the mirrors out and say, well, what does it look like under there? We'd rather just have them focus on where we say, hey, look at this. Open the front door. Look, I got it all clean. This looks good. And we would rather just leave it at that. Leave the mirrors alone. God wants us to be of the mind and the heart where we come to Him and say, Lord, pull your mirrors out. Lord, look at my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? And maybe, Lord, it's a little dirty in this console right here. Lord, I know it's, I'm not pleased with it. Can you help me with it? The Lord's not there to come in and say, oh, gotcha. Well, we're gonna throw this car out the lot. Well, your life is no good. Found a spot under here. That's not the purpose of the Lord. The Lord wants to come along and He wants to perfect us. Remember, there's a verse, Psalms 138:8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to perfect that which concerns you. But you have to be willing. And I wrote a verse down here in the 12th chapter of Hebrews in the first verse. Says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us, what? Walk. Let us stand. Let us walk backwards. Let us mosey on. What does it say?
Let us run
with patience. Don't walk. Don't sit down. Don't be satisfied with your current state. The Lord has land for you to possess. The Lord has, He has places in your life that He wants to perfect. Well, there's all kinds of places. You can fill in the blank. There's inward things inward. There's things outward. We focus a lot. Sometimes it seems like on the outward things, you know, we might have addictions, or we might be pulled by the worldly things, the fashion of the world, the idols of the world, the sports of the world, as mentioned this morning. And those things, addictions, they can be things that the Lord wants to perfect in us that are marring us. Or it might be things that others don't see. Maybe it's fear or discouragement or bitterness, or maybe a little pride or hurts or lack of faith. The Lord has places for us to move forward and to conquer that land. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to open it up and say, Lord, like the man did that ran to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do? He already knew that he kept those things from his youth. There was something missing. And it was because it was time for him to move forward. Now, I believe this morning that it's time for all of us. There's some area, I think, in all of our lives where the Lord's saying, it's time. It's time for you to move ahead now. Do you know what it is? Do you seek out that information from the Lord? Are you pressing into the kingdom? Scripture says the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth into it. Are you pressing into it? Are you running to the Lord? Or are you content just to say, well, I've done these things, everything ought to be okay, I've got a relationship with the Lord. But are you pressing? Are you willing to have the difficult places of your life looked at and say, Lord, what about this? Let's be encouraged this morning. The Lord is there to help us win battles. The Lord is there to show Himself strong on your behalf. I want to allow Him to do that in my life. I want to yield myself to the Lord so that which is in me that He can begin to perfect by His grace and His strength and His love. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. It's our responsibility and it's our privilege. It's our privilege. May the Lord be with each one of you this morning. It's my prayer. Amen.